Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a great clap and a shout of praise. And be seated in the presence of the Lord. I welcome everyone here tonight in the precious name of Jesus. Very, very deep session of worship we have just had, ushering us into God's presence. As we hear on a subject that I believe affects people's spirituality. Bible said the love of money is the root of evil. Most people, you don't really know them. You don't really know how spiritual they are until it comes around the matter of money. And so tonight I'm going to speak on financial dominion. And our objective is understanding first financial dominion, what it is all about. And then next, understanding the way of financial dominion. Walking in financial dominion. Financial dominion is a realm where we see a couple of people in scripture walk in. There are many people in scripture that walked in financial dominion. But I'll give three examples, beginning with Abraham. In Genesis chapter 13 and in verse 2. Abraham was called out alone according to scripture, but with Lot, and literally empty-handed. And in verse 2 of Genesis, the Bible said, and Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. By the time you move to Genesis chapter 24, and in verse 1, and Abraham was stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed him in all things. Genesis chapter 24 and in verse 35, the Bible said, and the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and made servants, camels and asses. Now see how Abraham manifested financial dominion in Genesis 14, verse 22 to 23. Abraham was talking to the king of Sodom, and he said to the king of Sodom, I've lifted up my hand to the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe lashed. I will not take anything that is thine, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich. I am big enough. I'm too big for you to think you can make me. I have so much of my own resources that I'm not looking for anything from you, king of Sodom. When Abraham's wife died, in Genesis chapter 23 and in verse 1, I'll read all the way to verse 9. Sarah was 127 years old. And these were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, hear us, my Lord. You are a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres, bury your dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that you may bury your dead. That's take it free of charge. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth. And he communed with them, saying, if it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and entreat for me to Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he has, which is in the end of his field. That is the one I want. For as much money as it is worth. Are you seeing the language of dominion? As much money as it is worth, I shall give it. Give it to me for a possession of a burying place amongst you. Cost is no consideration. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth. And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in at the gate of his city, saying, nay, my Lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein I give you. In the presence of the sons of my people, give I it thee. Bury thy dead. And Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land. Keep going. And he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, but if you are going to give me the land, I beg you, hear me, I will give you the money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, my Lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that between me and you? Just go ahead and bury your dead. And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron. And Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchant. In our place, they call it hard currency. And the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the borders round about, they were made sure, and unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in at the gate of the city. This is financial dominion. As much money as it is worth. Is the price 1 billion? Tell me. He didn't go home to bring money. He was with it on the spot. He weighed him. That is a realm that is free of beggarly existence. Don't pity me to give me anything. I am not, his wife just died. I'm not looking for pity. I have money to pay. Don't give me because you are pitying me. I can receive by favor, but not by pity. What I'm talking about is so real. It's so real. Now let's move, because we have a long way to go tonight. Now let's look at the Job. In Job chapter 1 and in verse 1, the Bible talked about the man in the land of Uz. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. Now, I want you to see the testimony of Satan, to see how big Job was. In verse 10 of Job chapter 1, this was Satan speaking, telling God. He said, hast thou not made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance filled the land. That is, Job dominated the land of the east with his resources. Everywhere you turned, you saw the signature of Job on the land. Move to David or Solomon. I think Solomon's case was the worst. In 1 Kings chapter 10 verse 11. All the way to verse 12. I'll read 11 to 12. 14 to 23. Or 14 to 25. And the navy of also Hiram that brought gold from Ophir brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord, and for the king's house, harps also, and psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees, nor we have seen unto this day. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon. Now, people go for gold, but gold came for Solomon. The weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 306 talents of gold. Beside that, he had of the merchant men and of the traffic of the spice merchants and of all the kings of Arabia and of the governors of the country. A traffic was just in his direction. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went to one target. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold. Shield that you will use to defend yourself against arrows was made of gold. 3 pounds of gold went to one shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it to the best of gold. So his seat was gold. The throne has 6 steps and the top of the throne was round behind. And there were stairs on either side on the place of the seat. And 2 lions stood beside the stairs. And 12 lions stood there on one side. And on the other, upon the 6 steps, there was not the like made in any kingdom. And all of King Solomon's drinking cups were gold. All the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None was of silver. Silver was nothing to be accounted of in the days of Solomon. Silver meant nothing. He didn't spend silver. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish. With the navy of Hiram, once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish bringing gold and silver and ivory and apes and peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver, vessels of gold, garments, armor, spices, horses, mules. He read year by year. Very soon I'll let you know why we are looking at this. But the heavens must hold Jesus until the times of the restitution of all things. Restoration of pure apostolic, pure prophetic. Restoration of drastic evangelistic, pastoral. Teaching ministry. Restoration of raw deliverance mantle. Holiness, character, integrity. Restoration of the supernatural supplies. The dimension that Abraham, that Solomon, that David all experienced. That the church will step in where individuals in the church will look like a modern day Solomon. A modern day Abraham. A modern day David. And if there's anyone like that here, say a loud amen. So what is the realm of financial dominion? Number one, it is the realm of excess without stress. That is excess. The resources is excessive without stress. Excess. Well, you keep on hearing all of this in abundance. Number two, it is the realm of no consultation with cost before deciding the task. No consultation with cost before deciding the task that must be done. What's the meaning of that? When Abraham asked for the cave of Machpelah, he didn't say what is the price. He said for whatever price it is worth. That is, the supply is not going to determine the vision. What must be done is what decides what shall be done, not what is the cost. Yes, the Bible said, before you build a tower, you sit down and count the cost. But before you can count the cost, you must decide that you want to build a tower. Am I communicating at all? There must be the decision that a tower must be built. Because if you are going to look at the cost first, you won't even think of the tower. But you think of the tower first, then you sit down and count the cost. It is the realm. When the Glory Dome building was about to start, there is a statement God said to me I will never forget. He said, spare no cost. Spare no cost. So we traveled. We went to one of the largest auditoriums in the world then. It was called the Philippine Arena, that had no pillars and no columns, and then it had 50-something thousand seater. If they pull it out, you can see it. We went, that's right. We went with structural engineers, went with architects. I hope they could show us the interior. And then we came in to just, because I already, that's the inside. I already showed our people what we are going for. We had this design, but we decided to look for where is a building like this that has no pillar in the middle of this size. So we went there. When our structural engineer looked and he saw the pillarless structure, his eyes widened. Said, okay, it's like not only doable, but it is done. I believe that there was other consultations and movements we made. Yes. It reinforced the design. It said, so we traveled all the way to China as well. We traveled all the way to China to look at glass partition walls and all of that. He told me, he says, spare no cost. So everybody flew, the architect, the engineer, the accountant, all of us traveled all the way. We went to Dubai too. By the time we were back, we were ready for anything to be spent for what we sit in now to be done. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Beloved brothers and sisters, God is bringing you and me. Now, the things I'm saying tonight, I am not saying that we are there. Ultimately, where we are meant to be in this dominion realm yet. But I can tell you what we have seen while we are still on the journey. And I see somebody, you are stepping there. If you are the one, shout the loudest, amen. If you are the one, shout the loudest, amen. If you are the one, shout the loud, must say amen. Number three. It is the realm of the command of the traffic of resources. The realm of the command of the traffic of resources. The Bible said, concerning Solomon, the weight of gold that came. Like I said earlier on, that was 1 Kings 10 and in verse 14 and 15. The weight of gold that came. Others went for gold, but gold came to Solomon. It is the realm of the command of the traffic of resources. The things that others go for come for you. Number four, it is the realm of the mastery of mammon. Mastery of mammon. Where you don't serve money, money serves you. Where money does not use you, you use money. You don't serve money, money serves you. The mastery of mammon. There are, Bible says you cannot serve God and mammon. I believe that was Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. There are many enslaved by mammon. But you are in mastery over mammon. Can you believe that a service as massive as this, Sunday service finished and you forgot to take offering until people are reminding you haven't taken offering? That is money under control. That is money irrelevant. That is money that ceases to be a driving force. You cannot imagine that you traveled all the way to Venezuela in South America and you forgot to take 1 naira in your pocket. That is money you are not a determined. And that was the days of no credit card. I mean, you didn't carry anything like a credit card or anything like that. In fact, up till now, I don't carry anyone like that. All right? And you traveled all the way and you are not stranded. And right down there, money met you from a stranger that you have never known in your life, in foreign currency, in a strange land. Not saying what I read or what I was told. I am telling you what I have experienced. It is the realm of the mastery of Mammon. Number four, five, it is the realm of full expression of vision. Without the restriction of scarcity. The full expression of vision without the restriction of scarcity. I can put it in another way. Maybe in a bracket you can say, the full expression of vision without the limitation of provision. That is, what God put in your heart to do is being done, and money is not a hindrance. What God wants you to do with your life is being done, and money is not stopping you. See how Solomon expressed vision. Until drinking cup in the palace was gold. He literally hyper-extended his hand. That was one phrase, medical phrase that God used for me. It's like a hyper-extension. You stretch your hand until the hand just bent backward like that. It's the realm. Archbishop Bentley, the host of blessed memory, said, anointing without money can turn into annoyance. You are annoyed because you know what to do. You know the crusades you must hold. You know the places you must reach, but there is no money to go. Number six, it is the realm of supply exceeding demand. The realm where supply has exceeded demand. Where there is more supply than the demand that is needed. More supply than needed demand. If you remember the wedding in Cana of Galilee, Jesus turned water into wine, and that wine could not finish anymore. The miracle of 5 loaves and 2 fishes in John chapter 6 and in verse 9, 10, 11. After that miracle, there were 5 loaves and 2 fishes that were taken up out of the ground. Now 5 loaves and 2 fishes were multiplied. And 12 baskets that were left over. That is, supply overwhelmed the demand. Very, very funny story. Now, God's servant Apoyedeko is in the process of construction of the ark. Massive building. And by God's mercies, our structural engineer here is involved in the same project going on right there. Yes. Somebody said, I have an offering to give for the ark. It's not 100,000. It's not 1 million naira. It's not 100 million naira. It's not 500 million naira. I have an offering to give for this ark, for the construction. He said, there is no need, because everything that the ark needs is ready, is paid for. The roof has been settled. It has not reached roofing stage yet. The air conditioning is available. The seat is available, the sound system, and everything is paid for. So in case you want to give, I can tell you any other project available. You can channel in church planting, rural church planting. We are building churches, we are doing this. And that was what happened. And then it was announced in church. Really? If it is towards this project, no need to give anymore. Abba! Show her size. Moses in the wilderness told the people, stop bringing. We have more than enough. Stop bringing. We have more than enough. Stop bringing. We have more than enough. So the realms we are talking about are real realms. We have finished a crusade where millions were spent. I don't know the millions spent. Where someone says he's going to undertake the whole of the crusade to pay for it. Crusade has come and gone. What was meant to be spent has been spent, and the person hasn't been given the bill yet.
Amen.
We went for one crusade, international crusade, which is far more costly than the one locally here. And two people were struggling to pay for it. One already paid. And the other one was bringing the money, and we said, no, this crusade is already settled. We can tell you where to redirect it. I announce to you today, in the name of Jesus, you are stepping there. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest, amen. It is the realm. Is anybody excited here tonight? Lift your right and say, I am stepping into those realms. No devil can stop me. I am stepping into those realms. No devil can stop me. Number 7. It is the realm of summoning supply. We are necessary. We are the supply is mandated, is summoning. That was where our master operated. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 to 2, he said, and when they drew near unto Jerusalem, and we had come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And straightway he will send it. He summoned those things. And the people went and found it, as he said. Go to the city. You will see a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. You will enter an upper room. When you come there, you will see a place furnished and prepared. Ask him, where is the place you are prepared for the master? He told Peter, go to the sea, launch the hook. Matthew chapter 17 and in verse 27. The first fish that comes out, open his mouth. There is, take the coin from it and settle our bill. In Luke chapter 5 and in verse 4 and 5, launch your net into the deep for a drought. And they did. And it arrived. Cause the men to sit down on the grass. And the food multiplied. It is summoning supply. You are so much in charge of supplies that you summon when necessary. Papa Yedeko is normal in that realm, just there. He said, when we're about to lay the foundation for the first church of dynamis in the whole world. June 1997. 6 months. 6 months, 6, 7 months after the start of the church. He was in their church in Durumi. He was passing. I ran to him. Oh, Papa. And then, yes. And he came, we are building. And then he came to the ground. Building, grow. Do you know the meaning of that statement? Building, grow. That is, anything that is needed between this foundation and the roof arrive. That building grew in 6 weeks. From that foundation to roof, 6 weeks. By the 7th week,
were under it.
The first building of this church, before we expanded to the next building, before we came in here. It is a summon. It is a command. The building grows. Grow means everything that is needed to reach the roof align. Supply be on your way. 10 days to the dedication of this sanctuary. We needed money in how many figure? I cannot mention now. Because there are so many Judas and Satans who think they want to understand the church, but give them a million lives, they will never understand the mystery behind the church. We had an amount that was in our reserve. In 70s. But it was nothing to handle what needed to be handled. And our accounts people say, can we start with that one? Can we use that one? I said, if you carry all of it, it will do nothing. It was a tiny percentage of what was needed. If I mention the what percent, then you'll be calculating and guessing, so I won't mention it. So I said, the money that will be, leave that one there. The one that is needed to finish this thing will arrive. It arrived. Under 10 days. In fact, before 10 days, because the dedication was 10 days time, so it has to arrive on time to finish the work. It so arrived that what was needed to be done was done. There was left over from what arrived, plus the one that was not touched. The one that we said, leave that one there. It was left there, sitting there till it came to pass. Dedicated with reserve. I announce to somebody here today, in the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord. Everyone that is in any form of construction or whatever kingdom vision you are running, I declare today what is needed is now released. If you are saying amen, say a louder amen. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. If I give you number 8, what is it? The financial dominion realm. It is the realm number 8 that is totally averse to borrowing and beggarly existence. Totally averse to borrowing and beggarly existence. There is nothing about you that is borrowing. There is nothing about you that is beggarly. No, don't give me this land free of charge, Abraham said. I want to pay for it. Pastor, don't molest yourself by appearing beggarly, appearing borrowing in front of church members. Borrow car, borrow this, don't do that. Now, very, very quickly, what is the way of financial dominion? If I were to run through what I've said so far, maybe the financial dominion realm is the realm of what? The realm of excess without stress. Number 2, it is a realm of no consultation with cost before deciding the task that must be done. Number 3, it is the realm of the command of the traffic of resources. Number 4, it is the realm of the mastery of mammon. Number 5, it is the realm of full expression of vision without the restriction of scarcity. What God wants you to do, you are doing it. Number 6, it is the realm of supply exceeding demand. Number 7, it is the realm of summoning supplies where necessary. Number 8, it is the realm that is totally averse to borrowing and beggarly existence. Abraham's story
that we read earlier on still serves as reference for that last point. Genesis 23, verse 11 to verse 16. Now, what is the way of financial dominion? This is where lies the message. Number one, a heart for God. The heart for God. Seek first. Now, I want to announce clearly that these principles I am giving principles to the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of darkness. There are people who may be wealthy through any other pathway. I'm not talking about that. Satan told Jesus, bow to me and I'll give you the riches of the earth. So it is possible to bow to Satan and be very wealthy. It's possible to bow to anything. But I am talking to those who are bowing to God. To Jesus. I'm talking about the pathway of God. I am talking about the way of Abraham. The way of Job. The way of David. The way of Solomon. The way of John D. Rockefeller. The way of Wallace Johnson, co-founder of Holiday Inns. I am talking of the way of R.G. Lotonol, the manufacturer of the earth moving machines that were used during the Second World War. I am talking of the way of William Colgate, the founder of the Colgate toothpaste. I am talking about the way of James Baldwin, the manufacturer of the locomotive engines, the train. I am talking about the way of all these people. J.C. Penney of the Penny Stores. These were all people who understood God, understood His covenant, and walked with Him at one point or the other in their lives. And they attributed where they rose to their practices in God. There are modern day people, Matthias Baldwin. There are modern day people today that I can talk about. But when the appropriate time comes, we'll talk about them. But this is the way that we have seen in Scripture. It is time tested and it is proven. Hallelujah. So it is the heart for God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In 1 Kings chapter 3 and in verse 3, the Bible said, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings. And then the Lord visited him. That changed the life of Solomon. The heart for God will determine your path with God. I am talking about coming to the point in your life where no business is big enough to come between you and God. Those who know you with God. Those who know you with church. Those who know you with your faith. A heart for God. Number two is kingdom expansion vision. God will place you on the pathway of dominion with kingdom expansion vision. In Psalm 132 verse 1 to 5, the Bible said, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. He made that decision. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, from verse 1 all the way to verse 5, he had enough of proper good to lay up for the building. Proper good from verse 3. I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for the things to be made of gold, the silver for the things of silver, the brass for the things of brass, the iron for things of brass. That is, I will not sleep until I build God a house
Then God said, take the gold for the building. Take the silver for the building. Take the brass. Take the iron. Take the wood. Take the onyx stones. And take all of it.
Kingdom. Expansion. Vision. If it is in your heart to do, God will put it in your hand to do it. In Isaiah chapter 45 and in verse 1 to verse 3, if you look at the story of Cyrus, Cyrus to me does not even seem like a Christian. Thus said, or a believer in God. He said, thus said the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand have I holding? He said, he was a king of the Persian Empire to subdue nations before him. I will lose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaf gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. To do you what? And I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, I am the God of Israel. If you go to verse 13, why am I giving him treasures of darkness? I have raised him up in righteousness. I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. Not that he has built it. He has a heart to build my city. There is something in his heart to build my city. And with his resources, let go my captives. Because if you build a house for God, where people come to be delivered, you are a part of that. The reward of that effort that happens in that church. Not for prize or for reward, say the Lord. Am I communicating? I will give him the treasures of darkness because I see in his heart that he will build my city and let go my captives. One man gave us his aircraft free of charge to use for crusades. One day, I asked him, what can we pray for you about? He said, nothing much. He's number one in his field in this country, concerning his own realm. He said, just tell God that those plenty souls that give their life to Christ at the crusade ground, he should allocate one to our account in heaven. Let him recognize us as responsible for the winning of at least one of those souls. How won't he have plane or planes? Plane is one of his businesses. Housing estate is another one where he can sell a house for about $1 million to $5 million. Banking is another one. Just see, people don't know anything at all. When you see a big mega person, there is one altar or the other being serviced. If they didn't start from the beginning, when they begin to arrive at a certain level, before they break through into certain levels, there must be certain covenants, certain agreements, whether with light or with darkness. Look at the music realm, for example. That one is a classical example. Most of them, before they can break through, especially in the secular realm, before they break through into something very mega, something happens. Bring my ring. I have lost so much weight. Hallelujah. Before they break into certain realms. You understand what I'm saying? This is what this man said. Allocate one soul. Tell God to allocate one to me and my family. Not that he has let go my captive yet, he will let go. I want to commit resources to him because he will build my city. It's okay. Kingdom, expansion, vision. I prophesy to someone here today. Whatever is in your heart, may God put in your hands. You are saying amen, say it louder. Amen. Number three is financial uprightness and integrity. So you have a heart for God. You have kingdom expansion vision. You must be financially upright and have financial integrity. Genesis 14, 22 to 23. Abraham said, I lifted up my hands unto the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe lashet, and I will not take anything that is yours, in case you say, I have made Abraham rich. I won't take anything that is yours, in case you are saying, I was the one who made Abraham to be rich. But I won't take what is yours. I won't take what is thine. If God is going to make you big, you don't take what belongs to others. You don't deal with people in financial deals. You are not financially fraudulent and crooked. Financial crookedness will be the way to destiny wretchedness. Either now or later. In Genesis 39 verse 5 to 6, Potiphar left everything in the hands of Joseph, but nothing was missing. Since he left everything in the hands of Joseph except the food which he ate, and nothing was missing. And everything enlarged and exploded. Job chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible called him. There was this man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. The man was perfect and upright. And one that feared God and eschewed evil. Perfect, upright, eschewed evil, and feared God. Then God made him the greatest. Somebody in our church was made to become a supplier in a particular project, multi-billion project, just supply things. And after a while, the project owner said, you know what? I was trying to give supplies to different people, but I'm going to leave all supplies with you. Amen. He said, because you have proved certain things that we are not used to. We are not used to it. Somebody was sent by a boss, and the person brought change. And the boss's wife said, what? So is it possible to send somebody and they also bring change? This is the first time they are experiencing it. Everyone they ever sent never brought back any feedback. Everything went down the drain. See how people limit their destiny. He said, I will leave you with the supplies. I handed over some people to somebody coordinating a project. The man said, I don't need to visit the project site. I don't need to visit it. Everything is happening in accuracy. Almost beyond expectation. That is how Christians should be. So that when your door opens, it remains open. So that it opens from one door to another. Not that they test you little. With 5 million, with 10 million, with 100 million. Then you run crazy. You begin to doctor documents. You begin to change figures. You begin to inflate prices. There are pastors who have gotten into trouble because they recommended some people. And the people are crooks. It will not reduce you. If you are upright financially, it will not. Just try it and see. Your generation will begin to look for you. They will begin to tell themselves, if you are looking for a trustworthy person, this is the person to go for. And I believe that somebody shall be that person. You believe that? Say loud, amen. That was number three. Number four is the practice of the covenant. the covenant of supernatural supplies. In 2 Chronicles or 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9 to verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 or 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 10. Or did I do it the other way? Okay. 1 Corinthians 9, 6 to 10. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God, so he was talking about giving when he was talking about sowing, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that he always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. The law of giving. Giving releases, tightening. These laws are time-tested and proven. Abraham walked in the giving covenant. Solomon, Isaac, David. I mentioned John D. Rockefeller, R.G. Lutonau, Wallace Johnson, Jesse Penny, William Colgate, and so on and so forth. Even in today's moments, I just told you the story of the one who gave us his aircraft. We're going to London, England for crusade. We had a financial stewards meeting, people being taught and trained to understand kingdom finances. And we said that we are going to London, England. If anybody wants to be a part of the crusade, it's free. And so, and people wanted to contribute to the flight that was to go. And one person said he's going to pay the cost of the whole flight. Huh? Do you know the cost? So, I will. And when the cost was told to him, he didn't just pay the cost, but paid it in excess. Excess of almost $20,000. Excess. Within 2 weeks of that crusade, whatever was given has returned almost 100 times, not 10, in form of projects to execute. And I want to say something very, very clear. I said that yesterday. If everybody in this house, including everyone watching anywhere worldwide, decides not to give a dime in form of giving of any sort, tithing, offering of any sort, including this speaker, Jehovah is too big to be stranded. It will, the work of God will not fill it 1 inch. I said 2 days ago that in the course of this construction, what was being spent a month was bigger than 1 year's tithe and offering together. Bigger. 1 month. Then where did the rest come from? Don't forget that God still has Cyruses. Don't forget that God still has Cyruses. That is people who are not within the commonwealth of Israel, that God can summon when necessary to carry out his assignment. Don't ever forget that. I remember some time back a woman was coming to our church. Husband wasn't coming to our church. He didn't belong to this religion. But he was okay with the church. He liked the church. And used to send the woman with his resources. He said, I believe in that church. Put this one there for me. Whether it was his tithe or whatever it was, he said, put it there for me. I believe that. He doesn't come to church at all. Listen to me, beloved brothers and sisters. God is too big to be waiting on man before he walks. clean it from your mind that a tiny money, whether it is called offering or tithe, can sponsor God or sponsor church. Possible. Now listen to this. Is it possible for money that people give to be the sole reason or the sole source or empowerment for running the church, and service has ended and you forgot to take offering? Look at Port Harcourt Crusade. The first crusade of this year. The one I discussed with God about, friend. Look at this crowd. See these people. Not one naira was taken from them. You remember the Sokoto Crusade? Somebody told Pastor Ben, can you see such crowd? What if the people give even small, small money? Right. Now, some will calculate in their mind. See this crowd. Just, if one money-minded people just stand there and say, all of you know what? 1,000 seed. Let your life change. Or you just walk, just walk something out. And then, let how many thousands are this? And multiply it. Shouldn't that be in the mind of anybody who went out to look for money? Can you go and look out for money and see people who can give money and ignore it? Alright, you look at Jalingo Crusade. Not a dime was taken. Just shows the crowd of the people. Not a dime. Alright, go to Kaduna Crusade. Not a dime was taken as an offering or a seed. This particular crusade, this church did not pay for it. Kaduna Church did not pay for it. Church offering and church tithe didn't pay for it. It came from this pastor's pocket, his own resources, personal. That has nothing to do with church. Let me give and also still be the person to preach. Over 100 buses were chartered. Millions were spent for this. If it was an investment, wouldn't you stand there and say, this is how much I spent? If I, so many and so many people times so many give, the money will be recovered back. That devil is a bastard liar. You go to Sokoto Crusade. Not one dime was taken as seed offering, tithe. Yeah. So where is the money constantly to happen? Do you think it's just Nigeria? All right, see Zambia Crusade. Zambian currency is Kwacha, right? That's the Zambian vice president. Not one dime was dropped. Oh, Lord. Please don't let anyone who does not know God confuse your mind. Money, not a dime was taken from Zambia to do that crusade. Every money to rent the sounds you are seeing there, to do everything, came out of here, and not one offering was taken on the crusade ground. Or here for it. You will make it. We are the generation that will exist as if the devil is not alive. We are the generation that will persecute the devil. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Lift your right hand and say, God is big enough to survive to carry out his agenda without a dime from my hands. Say after me, if I give, it's not because he needs it. If I am convinced to give, and I give, it's for my benefit. That's Kano Crusade. Again, not a dime. Am I communicating at all? Somebody say a loud amen. Do we want us to move from there and go into welfare? You see the Christmas welfare we do here every Christmas? That's people queuing at the gate. This is 2020. This wasn't a crusade ground. This is food distribution for Christmas. We had to stand in the car to address the people. Converted the car to a stage. There were people from the other religion on wheelchairs who came. They were sad to see them. This one was crying. This is free of charge. No subvention from anywhere. No charging church members. No, nothing. When was the last time you see a thing like this done? Whether it's government, whatever, by any. When was the last? This is line all the way to the highway. Nobody went without receiving. What do you say? I think it is important for people to be aware of things like this. Huh? Everybody was sad. We didn't know their number. But everybody was sad. 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 And they went back home with something. This is church. This is the El Shaddai that we serve, that is big enough and massive enough to take care of himself without the assistance of a man if he is associating with you for your benefit. 2022. The other one was 2020, just after COVID. I'm sure you know why the line on that one was much. Even this is so much. Is God speaking to somebody here? Lift up your right hand and say, Father. Lift your right hand and say, Father, thank you for the privilege of the practice of the covenant. Thank you for the privilege of involvement in the practice of the covenant. Thank you for the privilege of giving at all in any dimension. Not because you need it. You are so big. I appreciate the privilege. Be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Say amen. Take your seat. Is anybody get anything today? Yes, we'll come to that later. Did anybody get anything at all? This is food distribution to people who come to church on Sunday who don't have food to go and eat at home. Every single Sunday. You don't have what to go and eat at home. University students also, University of Abuja here, who don't have food to eat in school. Show that clip again. You can just show the distribution. All right, let's proceed. That's right. Every single one of these people will be going home to eat at home. Without this, they wouldn't have known what to go and eat when they reached home. They look fine physically. But if you consider the look of people, some may die in your hands. They came to church. Shouldn't they have come to church and be charged and be asking them to bring, come. Why? What are you here doing? Where is your offering? Where is your giving? They came to take. Let us go.
Every Sunday.
Every single Sunday. Number four and number five now flows into the last thing I just talked about. And that is, and I'm separating the covenant practice number five, which is generosity towards the poor. Generosity towards the poor is a practice that will take people into financial dominion. In Genesis chapter 14 and in verse 14. Genesis 14 and in verse 14. And Abraham, when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Abraham had a household of people that he trained and raised. Now look at Job. Job 29 and in verse 7. To verse 17. See the authority of Job. See what he linked it to. He said, when I went out to the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me, hid themselves. The aged men arose, stood up like at attention. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The nobles held their peace and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. When the eye saw me, it gave witness to me. Why? Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came on me. That is, the man was about to die, I saved him, he blessed me. I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness and he clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eye to the blind. I was feet, and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. Now, look at verse. I break the jaws of the wicked. I pluck the spoil out of his teeth. Now, when you jump to verse 19, my root was spread out by the waters, and the dew lay all night upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bow was renewed in my hand. Unto me men gave ear and waited and kept silence at my counsel. After my words they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them, and they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. If I laughed on them, they believed not. That is, they were too scared of me. The light of my countenance they could not cast down. I chose out their way. I determined how they move. I sat chief. I dwelt as king in the army. As one who comforted the mourners. Why? Because I blessed the poor. It put me in dominion. Now, if you look at that of Solomon, Psalm 72. If you have an old Bible, on the top of it is titled the Psalm of Solomon. Psalm for Solomon. Now look at verse 8 to verse 15. You will see the dominion of Solomon. Everybody read it with me. 8 to 15. Everyone read it with me. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba, queen of Sheba came, and Seba, they shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. Bible said all the kings said to Solomon. All nations, are you still reading? Wait a minute, you run too fast. 11. All nations shall serve him. Why? Verse 12. For he shall deliver the needy when he cried, the poor also, and him that has no helper. He shall spare the poor and the needy, He shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence. And precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live for doing all of this. And to him shall be given the gold of Sheba. Prayer also, all these poor people, shall be made for him continually. And daily. This passage will be called end of discussion. Shall bow down for him. Why? For he shall deliver them. People, everything you do in the direction of a poor is an opportunity to be raised. It's a privilege given to you by God to be established in strong dominion. We are not wasting our life. When we went to IDP camp in Sokoto, when there was flood in Maiduguri, and we rushed in, I was in, was it Botswana? When we heard that flood was ravaging Maiduguri, they sent to me, our pastor from Maiduguri, sent to me on Tuesday, sent a text to me, we're already on our way to Botswana. Flood is ravaging. We decreed and prayed for God to help them. And God did help in many ways because the flood was arrested. 1 kilometer to the church where you are, the flood stopped. And several other people were spared by that flood. When we landed from Botswana on Saturday, conducted Sunday service, the next place you found us was in Maiduguri. Early in the morning. First thing in the morning. After commanded the midnight prayer. And here we are, distributing things. From the airport where the deputy governor received us to the governor's office and then to the IDP camps where this is with the governor. This is the distribution. We sat down and did consultation medically. We didn't waste our time. If people don't know your story, they should not talk about your glory. Until you do the things I do, you can't smell the things I smell. It doesn't matter how long you talk. You don't know my prayer hours. You don't know how many hours I sleep in the night. You see, sometimes you are sitting here, eyes are red. Have you started it before? Bloodshot. And you are intense in prayer in the night. You are intense in preaching to the people. You are intense in visiting the poor. You are intense in everything you do. And then permanent fasting, she's my witness. There are times you say, can I eat breakfast? That is 4 p.m. Yes. Yes. Those who are following us on crusade. They don't dare taste anything before one. No. Somebody mistakenly tasted it one time. I just looked and said, what are you eating? I didn't say anything. On our way back, I didn't try it. If we are traveling 5 hours and we left here by 9 a.m., you won't taste anything. 12 must pass. 1 must pass before you think breakfast. That's thinking of breakfast. I'm sorry if you follow me and you have covenant with breakfast. I'm sorry for you. And and the welfare distribution happens. Do you understand? So when you see someone as intense as that, you still want the person to be crawling without result. No, no, no. God will make sure everything is convenient to cast. I have gone to a crusade. We had 3 aircrafts were released to wait on us. No, we had 3 at once. On our way back, 3 aircrafts were on ground. One of the ones, of the persons who sent his aircraft was begging that we should please enter his own also to be blessed. The pilots were arguing. They said, what about this one? You follow to come. Sir, can you follow us or go back? 3. So cameramen went in some ushers or whoever, proto, whatever, went in another. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's a new day for you. It's a new day for all of us. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. If you are, that's welfare to, in Tanzania. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. Shout the loudest amen. Shout amen at the top of your voice. Oh Lord, can we finish this thing tonight? We went all the way to a village in Malawi. See, this is village outreach in Malawi. Medical outreach. Professor is here from Malawi. Professor Adesuma Leta, the Vice Chancellor of Malawi University of Science and Technology. Happy to see you. She's right there. You're welcome. Welcome, Professor. Now, take a look at that. This is medical outreach. Women are dancing, rejoicing, jubilating. Medical supplies. Food supplies. They even asked for fertilizer. We gave them fertilizer to plant. Of that particular trip to Tanzania and Malawi, this village one was my favorite. Village, rural rugged mission. All right, praise the Lord. Pakistan is telling us also of their welfare. We send money to Pakistan and they did a welfare outreach. Maybe we'll show that tomorrow. No, no, the clip is there. Somebody lift up your right hand and say, Father. Say, Father, I am stepping into financial dominion. Nothing can stop me. No force can stop me. Say aloud, amen. Can we finish this thing tonight? All right, let's go very quickly. Generosity towards the poor. You know of the Rockefeller Foundation. And you know of other foundations around the earth. God knew that some of these people have the heart to do things. So he put it in their hands. So number 6, key of financial dominion is investment mindset. Investment. The mindset of investment. In 2 Kings chapter 4 and in verse 4 to verse 5. In 2 Kings, he said, when thou art coming, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. And shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door. What hast thou in the house? A pot of oil. There is something God wants you to release, wants you to release as an investment that you are eating up. That was oil that should have been eaten up. And the prophet instructed her to pour it into another vessel. That is investment principle. In Proverbs chapter 21 verse 20. The Bible said, there is treasure to be desired. And oil in the dwelling of the wise. He has something. He has a reserve, a strategic reserve. Probably for investment. But the foolish man spendeth it up.
In Luke chapter 19, verse 12 to 23, I won't go through all the story, but Jesus told the parable of a certain nobleman who went to a far country and gave £1 each to his servants. On his return, this one said, your pound has brought two. Another one said, has brought five. Then one of them came in verse 22. Okay, let's go from verse 20. Another one came saying, Lord, here is your pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Because I fear you, because thou art an austere man, thou takest up that which thou layest not down, and you reap where you did not sow. And he said unto him, out of your own mouth will I judge you, you wicked servant. You know that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then givest not thou my money? Why didn't you give my money to the bank? Do you see bank in the Bible? Into the bank, that, this is King James Version, that at my coming, I would have required my own with interest. The minimum you could have done was to fix it. The minimum you could have done was to fix it for interest, whether it's a fixed deposit or whatever it is, or whatever you're going to do with it, and then bring me interest. Now, take that money from him and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. So money always runs away from those who spend it. It runs in the direction of those who invest it. That is why poor people get poorer. Rich people get richer. Because, poor, you know, when people tell you about giving, covenant practice, the minister to the poor, and this aspect does not end it. It's almost like you are ready for surgery, and then there is no surgery taking place. The platform must be prepared for heaven to bless. There must be investment platforms where you have put in money, so that if God wants to, money won't fall from heaven. Let God empower you, but there must be an investment platform. There must be things you have put money into that will bring returns. So if you are not doing that, even if you are in the church, the person who knows how to invest, he will be getting bigger, and the other person will be complaining, because God is no respecter of persons. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Alright, let me do this thing like what I used to do in those days. In those days, we can be in a meeting, pastor's meeting, for 6 hours. We'll soon close. Non-stop. Yes, because I want this thing to enter. By the time you leave here, I want God to turn you and pastors, to turn the people in the church you are pastoring into something else. Don't look for coat to wear. Don't look at somebody's coat and want to envy him to go and buy. If that is not your time. And don't, what I'm wearing, I didn't buy it. For your information. So that you don't struggle. I didn't buy it. This one I didn't buy. Shoe I didn't buy. Watch I didn't buy. I can buy. My money is directed to many kingdom projects. There are people who are on assignment for this. There is somebody whose vision is, I want you to wear a new cloth every service. That is his vision. But he's being disappointed by his supplier. Are you understand what I'm saying? I cannot be busy with what I'm doing and be busy with all of this. So don't look at people. Somebody buy a car, he went and bought a car. Do you know how long it took him to buy the car? Or do you know whether they gave him the car as a gift? Don't struggle and break your neck. Life is in phases. Men are in sizes. Accept your status per time. Allow God to cause you to grow gradually. Allow God to cause you to move gradually. There are people shining with borrowed money. Borrow spoot, borrow wear, borrow drive.
connect. If the church you are building does not need gallery, don't force it. Because your friend built church, he has gallery. So that the gallery does not stop your ministry. When you sell the church to build the gallery, take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Everybody seated here today, I will come to that point finally now. One man sat here one day. He said it was on that gallery. He said, Lord, I'm building millions, hundreds. I want to shift to billions. So God said to him, he said, he got the wisdom. I don't know what I said from the preaching. He said, but the money that is coming, every fresh money that comes to you, don't touch it. Reinvest it. Just begin to spend a little percentage on yourself from the dividends of the reinvestment. If 100 million comes, don't use 1 naira from that 100 million. Just put it back into something. The profit of that gift, he said, within a short time, it just crossed into 1 billion. And from then, tens of billions. Am I communicating at all? There is one member of our church, young man coming up, getting millions. I told him, I said, those millions are not yours. You know what I want you to do? Put yourself on a salary. Pay yourself. So that the company money, the organization money, is the organization's money. Use it to expand the organization. That was what he did. Today, he has establishment in billions. And what thing he is running in this country is one of the top in the country as a whole. There is one of us here has different companies. I have dedicated 2 banks maybe in the last 3 or 4 years. One is a full-fledged national commercial bank. The man has like 3, 4, 5 different types of business. But he decided to start a business solely for the covering of overhead and salaries. This particular business, your profit is to pay all staff salary. All the other businesses, your money is to be multiplied to keep growing. Ola, ola. You are hearing this for the first time. You are in Harvard Business School or whatever business school, free of charge. Ogidi gidi. Ola, ola, ola. That is, if staff overhead, if salaries is 50 million, I need a business that will generate that 50 million a month. And then the main businesses, if their turnover is 100 million, it is unscratched. It is released for multiplication. And before you can say, praise the Lord, explosion, explosion, explosion. That's right. That's right. Ensure that you are in competition with nobody. I went to dedicate the housing estate of a member of our church, an estate. So I say, where is your house? I thought he would live in the highbrow Metama or Asokoro or something. He said he's renting a house. Renting a house that was 120,000 naira a month. Then I said, he has an estate dedicated. Plenty flats. You see, there are people who show off in a hurry. They just before they grow, they blow. They have not grown yet, but they have blown. And it's not the blowing of a good blowing, it's the blowing of balloon. It's gone. So I said, what have you done? He said, it is more profitable for him to be in this rented house now than to go and live in highbrow Metama. It's not bad to live there. But that was his vision then. He said the money he would have used to live there or build the house, he wants to reinvest it more. He wants to explode the things he's doing more. And then, when the time comes, he can conveniently move there without stress. It's a new day for you. If somebody receiving something here, say aloud, amen. So, if you are you have a heart for God, you have a mind to, in fact, you take this like a mission, an assignment. I want to conquer money to depopulate hell. I want to conquer money to populate heaven. I want to conquer money to punish the devil. Hallelujah. Do that. Instead of looking for what to spend, begin. That was the mentality of Isaac. The people of his days were looking for what to eat. He was looking for what to invest. He was sowing in the land and he was multiplying. Instead of looking for what to wear, to drive, to drink, begin to look for where to put something and multiply it. And you will be shocked at what God will do with your life. Say amen. If somebody is driving the latest Mercedes or the latest, relax, calm down. The time will come, maybe you go to aircraft straight. Because that is needed. That is needed for what you are doing around the world. Say amen. Somebody say louder, amen. Finally, possess an entrepreneurial spirit. An enterprising or entrepreneurial spirit. Young men and young women, please don't wait forever for government job. Please, don't waste the rest of your life just permanently looking for job. You can create jobs even if you have to look for jobs. In 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 28 to verse 29. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 28 to 29. And Solomon had horses that he brought out of Egypt and linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. And so for all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria, did they bring them out by their means. The King James here is a bit complicated. So look at the Living Bible version, TLB, or New Living Translation. Solomon's horses were brought to him from Egypt and southern Turkey. Turkey is here. Welcome. And southern Turkey. So Solomon came to your place to buy horses, where his agents purchased them at wholesale prices. Are you seeing Solomon? An Egyptian chariot delivered to Jerusalem cost $400. And the horses were valued at $150 each. Many of these were then resold to the Hittite and Syrian kings. Solomon went to buy from where it was cheaper and sold it to where it was higher. He didn't sit down, I am king, everybody is bringing me money. He was busy conquering money where money can be conquered. King Far, King Solomon, that had all the gold. How much you have? That you are over relaxing. Solomon Fa. Gold came to meet him, yet he was not resting. He reinvested in. Somebody's life is changed already. If you are going to conquer resources, you must produce goods or services. Produce something. Produce what people will pay you for. You are paying people for something. What are they paying you for? You thought you went to enjoy yourself when you bought a car. You paid for somebody's product. When you go back home tonight, you are going to sleep on a bed. In fact, you are going to enter through a door that somebody created. And then go into a house and sit on a dining table that somebody created. And then eat food that somebody farmed and produced. If you are not the one who produced it. Maybe you go to have a bath and a shower, using a shower that somebody produced. And then a soap that somebody created. And then you come out of the shower, you use cream that somebody produced. Wear a nightgown or something that somebody sold. And then lay on a bed that somebody manufactured. And then wake up in the morning to wear a shoe that somebody created. Another person sold to you. And then you walk, you use toothbrush that somebody produced. And toothpaste of maybe William Colgate. Alright? By the time you have done all of this, money left your hand in many people, in many directions. What is anybody paying you for? You paid everybody for everything. Even if it was not a good, that is, you are not an. And I'm encouraging every inventor here, every craftsman, every manufacturer of anything here, don't relent, don't relax. I believe that an anointing is coming upon your life. And you can make your product unique. Everybody is a housing estate personnel. Do your own in such a unique way that it will just be an instant hit, instant attraction. You are a laundry person. Do it in such a unique way. Maybe home delivery, whatever. Maybe a laundry with an app. God is in a hurry to release glory to the end time church so that we can persecute the devil and his agents. We must show God our capability. We must let him know we are ready. Don't waste your time looking for money or trying to for money to happen. Happen it. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, you see, someone say, what are we doing? We are doing so much. What I'm saying to you now is changing your life so drastic. Somebody here turns into a billionaire suddenly. And he says, Pastor, this is your crusade boss in the air. Just to appreciate God for how much you drastically changed my life. It happens all the time. It happens all. Your impact will determine your income. Your impact on your generation. You don't struggle to make a living. Just struggle to make a difference. Struggle to make a difference. A difference in your field. A difference in your endeavor. A difference in your realm. Struggle to make a difference. And the difference you make will cause you to stand out in your world. Somebody say a loud amen. In conclusion tonight, so that it is not an everlasting message, even though it's so needed. Why financial dominion? Are we planning, because most people, when we talk in this realm, they think we are talking materialism. No. We are far beyond the realm of materialism. We have come to the realm where things don't move us. That is how come I can travel all the way to South America without a dime in my pocket. But what is the overall aim of the church? That is why the devil and his agents don't want the church, either the church as a whole or members, individuals of the church, to have resources. Because it will cripple the agenda. They know. Both of the individual members of the church, and they think it will cripple the church. Without them knowing that God has Cyruses. What is the aim? What is the overall end of financial dominion. Number one, the spread of God's kingdom in the earth. God wants to give the church financial dominion for the spread of his kingdom in the earth. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17. He said, my cities cry yet saying, my cities, true. Now you can go back to King James Version. Shall spread abroad. True prosperity. Cry yet saying. Thus said the Lord of hosts. My cities, true prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. My cities, God spreads his kingdom with his resources. Number two, the building of God's house, physical house. That was what the psalmist said in Psalm 132 verse 1 to 5. I will not give sleep to my eyes nor slumber to my eyelid until I find God a house. Isaiah 45 verse 13. He will build my city. The building of the house of God. And the city where necessary. Canaan land is not a church building, it's a city. We are not here within a church building now. We have people. We have things everywhere here. And yet half of the land is not yet built. Hallelujah. For the building of the house. We are like God's servant said. If it is given to us this house, it is done. You can do something else. The spread of God's kingdom. Crusades, outreaches, the building of the house. Number three. The impacting of society. Societal impact. He said, let your light so shine that men might behold your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Good works, impacts, that impact society. A 5-star Christian university like Harvard, like Cambridge, like Oxford, like Covenant University. 5-star hospitals, Baptist hospitals, Methodist hospitals. Do you know that the Catholic Church health facility covers almost 1/3 of all her health facilities? 1/3. Catholic Church. Methodist hospitals. 5-star generationally impacting institutions. Saving lives, employing people. Most of the researchers of the world from Oxford, they came. From Harvard, inventions. The church is the light of the world. We are ahead of the world. The dark agents of darkness have minimal contribution to society. And there's somebody seated here. One of our brothers here invented water lamp. I don't know, maybe before the convention is here. Water lamp. Water charged with salt that can produce light for 70 days. I've used it. Light is off, you on it. After 70 days, change the water, add salt. It continues. The young man should be here in this conference. If you are not here, you are hearing me. You should be here tomorrow with your water lamp. The night vigil. So that people can see it. And some can go with it. There is more from where that one came. Serious inventions. Serious inventions. He wants to manufacture a generator that does not use diesel or anything. Somebody say, let him go ahead because he will be looking for it. Impacting society. So God is raising people like that. And I decree today, you will be among them. This is our reason number three. So that we can impact society. Number four, the relief of the poor. He said, the poor you have always with you. The relief of the poor and less privileged. charities. He said, "The poor you will all, for you have the poor always with you." Matthew 26:11. That's why you are seeing us doing that food distribution on Sundays. They are there. Matthew 19:17. Proverbs 19:17. "He that has pity on the poor lendeth to the Lord, and that which he has given will he pay him again." For the relief. Some people went to hell because they said, "I was sick, you didn't visit me. I was poor and hungry, you didn't feed me." Pure religion and undefiled is to visit the widow and the fatherless in their affliction. The scripture is full of these kind of things. The relief of the poor. Some of us are meant to have scholarship foundation for less privileged people. Foundation carrying out surgery. One of us here has foundations carrying out free surgeries. And you do that with massive resources. And finally, the defense of the gospel. Massive resources for the defense of the gospel. Philippians 1:7. Philippians 1:7. He said, "Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace." In the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers for the defense of the gospel. Matthew 27:57. And then we'll read, we'll end there. "When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and demanded the body of Jesus. And Pilate commanded the body to be delivered." This was the time where all the disciples were hiding. But there was a rich disciple that was bold enough to identify himself. That's what the Bible called him. Poor disciples can hide, but rich disciples show themselves. Stand up on your feet. Poor disciples can be threatened by rich men, but rich disciples confront rich men. I like this. Whatever you want to be is your choice. Stand up on your feet. Poor disciples can hide because Jesus was crucified. But rich disciples will come out and say, "In case you are looking for who to crucify along with him, I am not a candidate." He came to Pilate and demanded, and Pilate commanded. I am imagining their transaction. Peter was nowhere to be found. He just finished denying. Thomas was nowhere to be found. He just finished doubting. Judas was gone already. He has committed suicide. In fact, Peter has gone out fishing. Everybody was looking for where to hide their hair. Here comes Pilate. "Are you ready?" He brings his hand. "Hello, Joe. How are you?" "Hello, Pilate. How are you?" And Pilate said, "Boy, Joe, it's a long time. Why are you here? You're not even smiling." "It was my Lord you crucified." "Oh, no. Why didn't you tell me on time?" "Why? Joe, but you know me. We meet all the time at the city council." "I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry for your loss, Joe. I'm sorry for your loss. What do you want?" "I need his body now." "Hold on, Joe." "Hey, who is there?" "Who is there? Come here. Bring the body of that man now." Body was brought. Say, Joe, so sorry. Is there any other thing you need me to do? No, please. This is about body. But please, let's talk later. This kind of things must be avoided in future. Let's talk and see. Rapport. Level. That is why you must be a man of stature. Yes, sir. That is why you must be big and massive enough. That is why people in the church should be able to speak where people like Bill Gates are. People in the church will rise, and they will rise before Jesus comes. Sitting at the United Nations General Assemblies and other assemblies where decisions that affect people are made and affect the faith, and they are there. Hey, I'm here. Who you are talking about? I believe in him. For the defense, the gospel has been so emasculated and I've been so confronted and challenged, because this Joseph of Arimathea's stature of men are lacking. People who are disciples that are rich. People who are disciples that are wealthy. People who are disciples that are influential. People who are disciples that are not poor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say a louder amen. How many of us are ready for financial dominion? How many of you are ready? How many of you are already there? Lift your two hands everywhere you are and speak to God right now and tell him, Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. 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 Thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your word. 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 Precious name.
Amen.
Second Chronicles chapter 16 and in verse 9. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. Lord, I know you are looking for someone around the earth to trust and to entrust with your resources. I'd like you to try me. Lord, try me. You are looking for those. You are looking for who to trust with massive resources. I am available, Lord. Try me. Will you pray that prayer? Stretch your two hands in front of you and say, Father, I am available. I am available. Try me. Try me with your resources in this end time. I am available. Try me. Open your mouth and pray. I am available. I am available. I am available. I am available. Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's take those points one by one. Lift your hands and say, Father.
Father.
In the reverse order, say, Father.
Father.
I come before you today.
I come before you today.
I ask. For an impartation. Of an enterprising. Entrepreneurial. Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Father, I ask. That you affect my mindset. An investment mindset, not an expenditure mindset. In the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you give me a heart of generosity towards the poor. In the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you give me the discipline of the covenant practice, the covenant of supernatural supply in givings, in tithings. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you help me to live in uprightness, in integrity, financially, to avoid the ways of crookedness. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you impact me with kingdom expansion vision. Help me to see what you see. Help me to see how you see it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And then Father, I ask for a heart, the baptism of a fresh heart, fresh passion for God. Give me that baptism of a heart for God. Passion for you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Go on ahead, open your mouth and pray. Pray. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
The Lord has heard and answered us.
Amen.
Stretch your two hands in front of you. Yesterday I said that people can bring points of contact to their business, their organization, their finances and so on. If you did, you can stretch it. If you didn't, you can just stretch your hands. And if you came with your expectation form, you can also carry it, what you trust God for. Wisdom demands most times that when a flow has happened such as this, especially as we are talking on financial areas, that latching in with the practice of the covenant in giving is not only encouraged, but highly necessary. Lord, if what has been preached, now I'm not talking about even giving immediately now, I want to key in to this financial dominion realm. I want to trust you. Let me escape the realm of stress to arrive as resources. You can make up your mind with that ahead of tomorrow morning, tomorrow night. Connect me, Lord. The best time, it has fully been established that God is not stranded because of whatever we give or not give. That has been fully cleared. So it is now your burden of responsibility and decision to say, you know what? A moment like this cannot pass. Moment of encounters in scripture, altars are raised. Sacrifices are laid on altars. This is such a moment where Abraham encountered God, raised an altar. Solomon raised an altar. This is such a time. And you can prepare your mind, walk towards it. I can't just hear this and let it just be a hearing. Lord, I'm making a commitment, trusting you, that this realm will be real in my life. And it will be. Now stretch your two hands with your materials, points of contact, and also your expectation form. If you have not written on your expectation form, don't worry. I can pray on the paper. Then you can write on the paper. And the writing will now join the prayer that is already on the paper. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands. Now, we spoke of financial integrity. We spoke of a heart for God. You are here tonight and you feel like you have a need to serve God in a deeper dimension. You have a need to live for God in a deeper way. You have a need to do His will. You have a need to surrender to Jesus. You have a need to make Jesus to be Lord over your life. Pick your Bibles. Pick your bags and quickly come to the front here and let me pray for you. Quickly, quickly, quickly before we do the release prayer. I need to hand over my life. I have not put God first all this while. I've put other things first. I've been looking for other things, but I now want to look for God. God have tried me before, but I have not been financially faithful. I have not displayed financial integrity. I want to maintain financial integrity right now. Oh, I want to live for God. I want to live straight. Want to live clean. Quickly come forward here and let us pray for you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Live
for you.
I'll give you the count of 10. 1.
Have your way, Lord.
Everybody sing. 2. I give you my heart, I give you my soul,
I live for you alone.
only for you, only. Every moment I'm away. Everybody sing. I give you my heart. I give you my soul. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Everybody, Lord, I give you.
A major secret of greatness is gratitude. You cannot be grateful and not be great. One of the secrets of America as a nation is that one day of the year, they call it Thanksgiving. A whole day, public holiday. Thanksgiving, thanksgiving to God. Everything for which you are thankful. Thankful to God for His love. Thankful to the care of parents. Thankful. And that is happening today. So we wish all Americans, those here, and for some of you who actually traveled away from Thanksgiving, I mean, it's like traveling. Is it from Christmas or from what? Yeah. Thank you for being able to come despite your Thanksgiving, and happy Thanksgiving. All right? And all the people watching online from the United States of America, happy Thanksgiving to you in the name of Jesus. And as we thank the Lord, we trust that God Almighty will cause us to see more results. You can wish somebody else also happy Thanksgiving. Just wish them happy. Let's celebrate it along with them. Along with them. Along with them. Happy Thanksgiving holidays. And let's lift our hands and say, Father, thank you for the gift of life, for being our God. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.